Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Good Girls Get Rich podcast. I'm Karen Yankovich, and I'm so excited to be here with Louisa Havers today. I've been actually on her podcast. We'll talk a little bit about that, and that's how we met within the last year. And recently, Louisa did a free masterclass, which she's calling the Signature Wealth Energetics Masterclass, and who doesn't want that, right? Who doesn't need a little fine-tuning of their wealth energetics? So I took her masterclass, and I loved it so much. I thought, I want to talk about this, and I want you to hear about it too. So let me tell you a little bit about Louisa. Louisa Havers is an internationally renowned success advisor and creator of the Helix Method, Master Akashic Records Channel, Soul Journeys Method. She enables multi six and seven figure entrepreneurs to lift the ceiling in both their lives and businesses. It's a journey Louisa knows works as she's personally undertaken it. Years spent leading change in the highly pressurized and stressful social services sector led to shingles and chronic fatigue, compelling her to break free from the corporate matrix of overwork. It was the first step to creating her own life of freedom and making a bigger impact with her dream online business. Louisa enables clients across the globe to activate quantum leaps to success in their own journey of self-actualization and fulfillment. Louisa, I'm so excited for this conversation.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Karen. I'm delighted to be here. And I'm so excited that you came and joined us in the masterclass.
It was a lot of fun. And it just came at a time where I'm like, I want to check this out. But there's one thing in your bio I want to just talk about first for a second, because it's so interesting because, you know, I also came from corporate, and you talk a little bit about the highly pressurized and stressful sector you were in, and the corporate matrix of overwork. But I actually think that there's also a lot of entrepreneurs that are in that space right now. And I can tell you that as much as I felt overworked in corporate, I don't think I worked as many hours as some of the weeks I've worked as an entrepreneur ever. I mean, other than rare exceptions, right? As I worked pretty consistently as an entrepreneur. So it's interesting. I'm on a journey for that not to be the case. And it doesn't need to be the case in my business. And it's a big part of what I teach. It's just interesting what we can do to ourselves too, right?
Oh my word, absolutely. And the corporate matrix of overwork, when I first became an entrepreneur, I did bring that overwork with me because I was so used to working in that way and really feeling like I needed to hustle really to have the success. And was particularly within social services, very used to firefighting. There was a lot of firefighting going on. So having to troubleshoot, being sort of thrown in to go and sort something out that, you know, needed resolving instantly. And there were kind of life and death scenarios in that field on some occasions, not always, of course. And so our nervous systems kind of get used to running on that adrenaline. And of course, I had my own experience of burnout. And I know so many other people who've had that as well. I think you're absolutely right. I see it too with many of my clients who are entrepreneurs, leading very successful businesses, who are on that place of, hang on a second, I am on an entrepreneurial hamster wheel, of really trying to get that balance right so that I've got harmony, I've got peace, I've got quality of life and a successful business, and I'm not kind of sacrificing one against the other. Because that's the thing, is where's the misalignment showing up if everything's going into our work? And of course, there are periods at any business where we need to put perhaps a little bit more time into the growth of the business than other periods. But I think it becomes a problem when that's the default point and that's the norm. If that makes sense.
It does. When I first started my business, I did the same thing. I took the energy over with me. And then I think I got pretty good at it. But then what I didn't realize was during the pandemic, I went right back to it, because what else was there to do, right? So I'd say, okay, I'm going to stop at 5 o'clock. And then it'd be 5:30. And I'm like, well, what do I do? You know, like, I'm not really one to sit in front of the TV. Let me just go back to my desk and do some more of this, right? And I didn't realize how much I was getting sucked back into that until probably for almost a year, right? Before we really went back to in-person events and, you know, feeling more, at least here in the US, feeling more comfortable going out to dinner or whatever. But it took me another, you know, good period of time to kind of undo that again.
Oh, I totally get that. I think that was certainly something I heard from so many people who already had online businesses and were growing their businesses, or indeed actually you know, getting their businesses set up, was that where's the off switch when you haven't got those sort of markers that we would traditionally have with being able, knowing that you're going to go out for dinner with some friends or you're taking the kids somewhere or whatever it might be. There'd be some sort of other aspect of social life that would be calling you away from your desk, and that we lost that, didn't we?
Right.
And so for all the workaholics out there, are we going to be watching something on Netflix that may not be very good for the soul, or are we going to be, you know, doing something to contribute to our purpose and our family's well-being and serving clients and all the things? So I think many people had that experience of realizing that they sort of fell into another working all the time type pattern, because it felt more fulfilling than sort of just sitting in front of the TV night after night. Or I had loads of people, I didn't experience this, but might have missed out socially, but there seemed to be like Zoom parties going on with people, but people were like drinking a lot on those parties and stuff as a sort of way of replacing going to the pub culture, I guess, in the UK.
Right.
And that wasn't going to be good for people's well-being necessarily.
I think we'll be dissecting the impact on us of that year for a very, very long time, right? Hopefully, if you're running a business, you love what you do, right? So it's not like a job where you were doing things. Maybe you did things you loved, but also probably a lot of things that you just had to do. It was your responsibility or other people asked you to do. Here, we're hopefully, and I think, you know, most of the people that listen to the show are creating things that they love to do. So it's easy to overwork. So tell us a little bit about Wealth Energetics and your journey to be, you know, creating the Helix Method. Tell us a little bit about what that is and, you know, what brought you to doing this piece of it.
Oh, well, so it kind of goes back to that aspect of, you know, how I took my old version of myself over from corporate into the entrepreneurial land. And when I looked back, so, you know, you mentioned that my background was in social services. And I remember when I left that I hadn't anticipated this, but I did have, when I look back, I realized it was grief. And what I was grieving was actually the loss of the identity that I had whilst I was working in corporate. Because, and then suddenly being like, oh, I've got this sort of free range. Who am I? Like, what is my identity?
Such an important statement that you just made. So many people don't understand that shift in identity that they're making when they go from employee to whatever their next step is in their journey. We've never done it before often. So how the heck are we supposed to know how to do it?
Exactly. And it was something that I hadn't anticipated that I was going to be sort of hit with. But I really recognized that actually I've got to create my new identity. And really, I've got this kind of freedom to really understand more of who I was, because I really had hidden behind the roles of corporate and being really busy, you know, as this leader in social services and all the things. And of course, it's one of those things, isn't it? That's been such a gift of recognizing that the identity that we have is ultimately how we show up in the world and how we create our reality. So that was like a stepping stone for me in terms of kind of going back and drawing on my psychology background to recognizing, oh, hang on a second, I need to kind of really elevate who I am within my own personal development. And I started on a journey of really diving into identity work alongside the energy healing aspect, because I discovered that I could feel energy, and I'm the kind of person, I just love studying. I love learning and growing. So I'm always, you know, studying new things really being able to expand my consciousness. And I love to kind of correlate, you know, who's doing what across the piece, because so often people are talking about things and they're saying it's some new thing and actually someone else is talking about it over here, but they're just calling it different things. Anyway, so my passion is studying, and I love studying, you know, energetics and psychology and all those things. And so as I was learning more and more new things and had trained in a number of different modalities, and I was experimenting on myself and working with my clients, I really came to understand that when things were working really well, and when things were working really well for me, and I was getting into that flow state energetically, was when I was working on the aspects I teach within the Helix Method now, which ultimately is around, which is an energy psychology modality, which is what we do within the Helix Method, is balancing that deep inner healing work, that somatic energetic healing work that we need to do, so that we're working across all those different levels of consciousness, really getting into the depth of how the body holds our experiences alongside manifesting rituals, so that we've got that balance of the two, and that we are not trying just to kind of do one without the other. And for me, when I really brought the two together, that's when I saw the greatest shifts, more quickly for myself, being able to stay in those higher frequencies, those elevated frequencies for longer, and for my clients too. Because when we're in that flow state and things are going really well, everyone knows that feeling where it's like, oh my God, I don't want to stop.
And then, yes. And then when you're not in that feeling, it's just, how do I get back there? You're right. Like, when you're in it, you know you're in it. Yeah. And then when you're not in it, it's frustrating. It could be frustrating, I feel like, right? Because then you're sometimes, at least I find, then I'm working too hard to get there. And that is the last thing I need to be doing to get there, exactly. Right? So it's when
we're out of that state, and it can be that, and our default point is so often for so many people is to go, right, I've got to work harder to get the momentum going, to get things moving. But if we're in that space and we're not doing the energy work, then our frequency isn't raised. And so we're actually trying to kind of push things, trying to create from that 3D aspect, from the physical plane, rather than, I say, allowing our energy to do the heavy lifting for us. Of course, we need to carry on taking action on all the things. And what's so beautiful is when we're in that, when we can raise our frequency again, and we're like, oh, I can feel it happening. We start to see the synchronicities opening up again. And you're like, yes, I want to stay here. And one of the key aspects that I found that's been really helpful for my clients, and I teach this in the masterclass as well, touch on it in the masterclass, is around helping people understand that I think it's easy to kind of think of it as like three states of energy that we're in at any one point in time. So we've got that flow state, that state that we all want to be in. It's all, you know, that's where the magic happens. And then we've got resistant energy and reversed energy. And I think it's just a really helpful concept for people to really understand. So the resistant energy is around, you know, these are the limiting beliefs that we have, like from an old identity of ourselves that we're trying to create a new version of reality with these beliefs that have become limiting. And then we have, and that feels like you're trying to push treacle up a hill. You know, you're kind of making progress, but it's like, oh, this is so sticky. And then we have reversed energy, and this is such a game changer for people, because literally your energy is reversed. And this can happen when we have experiences along our life path or traumas that we haven't healed from. And so we're holding those energetic imprints in our field, and they are weighing us down and taking up some of our energetic space, if you like, that could be more in the flow state. And things like, you know, from a business perspective, it can be things like if anyone's faced bankruptcy or cash flow issues, that can be very stressful. Team issues, when team members haven't worked out, or whether it's sales, or, you know, all the different aspects that we can have within business. And indeed, aspects that we might have seen as growing up as a child with our parents and the businesses that they had. So anywhere there's any reversed energy there, that can really have a huge impact on people being able to hold that flow state, or when we're out of it going, oh no, I feel like I've gone into reversed energy. Help, how do I get out of this and get back into that flow state where we can take action without having to work so hard?
You know what? Talk a little bit more about that reverse energy, because I think that that's an important piece of this. Because, you know, I can think of a lot of people that I've worked with that they can have, like, they can check the all of the above button, right, to the things you mentioned. So we know, I guess, I'm going to say that, I'm going to presume this and tell me if I'm wrong. We know when we're in it, when things are just like, no matter what we do, they're not landing where we want them to land or whatever, right? But are there ways to identify that we're slipping into it, or and then, you know, I have 100 questions. We don't have time for that. But are there things that you have to, like, uncover it and cry about it and, you know, throw some, you know, beat your pillow up or something? Or can it be done? Like, it's like, tell us a little bit about identifying it so that we know how to learn from it and we can kind of reverse it. Cause those are also the things that are the things that probably annoy us the most, right? Like, I cannot believe, you know, my divorce from that person who is still affecting me, you know, I feel like I'm so on the other side of it, you know, and the last thing I want is that to be still in the way of my success, right?
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about how can we learn a little bit about what those things are, what those triggers might be, and how we deal with them.
So anyone listening, I'm sure as we're talking about this, people will be thinking of ideas of wondering if that aspect of their life, maybe they've got some reversed energy there. Like, and you mentioned divorce as well. That's a huge area that can bring forward, create huge energy reversals for people, particularly where there may be, you know, toxic, I call it toxic money, where you know, the money's separated or there's money being given for maintenance and there's conditions attached to it and all the things. And suddenly we're kind of rejecting money in one area of our life. But then if we're doing that over within our relationships over here, where are we then mirroring it in within our business? And so there it's a beautiful thing as people start to do this. So I can speak to this because I've got a guide that people can download, so it will walk them through how to do this. But ultimately, by identifying it through so what we do in the Helix method, if I just explain that quickly, then people will understand what I'm talking about.
Link to the guide. You'll send us a link to the guide?
I will send you the link to the guide.
So you guys, when you're watching this, just check below. You'll see a link to the guide.
Yes. So this, you'll be able to do this exactly in your own home. So I invite you to do a higher self invocation so that you can align your different levels of consciousness. And that really helps you to drop within and increase your life force energy. So your energy field's expanded out. And then what we do is we do muscle testing with the sway technique, or you can call it energy kinesiology. And the reason why I like the sway technique, so for those that don't know it, is you use your body like a dowsing device, which as you do it, it enables you to feel the energy. And for me, that's very powerful for people to actually be able to feel their body moving typically forwards for a yes. When you ask your body a question, you get a yes or a no. So forwards is typically a yes, backwards is typically a no. There's all sorts of other things that go on with the muscle testing as well, but that's kind of a good starting point for people right now.
Well, I just want to comment on that. I've done muscle testing over the years with different people, and I am also a student of energetics and identity, and I'm always listening to things. But with muscle testing, when we're doing things like this, I know it to be true, but I didn't believe it about myself. I was like, I'm forcing this. I know what I want and I'm forcing it. But when I did your sway thing, I was like, whoa, you know what I mean? I was like, and I got answers I didn't expect. And it was the first time that I had ever done muscle testing that I really believed in the result of the muscle testing. And I have, you know, I've done this with really smart people. So it's not them, it's me, just how I just couldn't get that. But for some reason, it was that sway that made a difference for me. And, you know, you don't know that until you try the things, right? Somebody else, it might be the testing, like, and when I do this, it's like, you know, is it a yes, you can break through? There's things like that people have done, right? So, but I always like kind of felt like, yeah, I'm making that happen, you know? But with the swaying, I was getting answers I didn't expect, which was really cool.
Yeah, it really is. It's, I think it's the most accurate one for people when because we have to get out of our head to allow the body to sway. And so it's super powerful. And I absolutely love it. And the sway, when you're doing the sway, when you ask a question, you have got an energy reversal to it. You're not going to sway typically forwards, yes or no. Your sway is going to start doing something else. Like, you might go around in circles, you might lean to the left or to the right, and all other things go on. And so that's very cool to start to kind of really feel your body respond to that. So what I invite people to do is you can simply ask questions like, you know, have I got an energy reversal to do that's preventing me from making 100K this month, or, you know, whatever the amount is that people are wanting to create in the revenue that they're wanting to create in their business. And then through a cluster of questions that you can ask, you can drill right down to the root of where this energetic reversal has come. And the key for me that really starts to open up for people is as you're asking these questions and you're dropped into the your heart space so that you can allow your body to sway, your body is going to start, your subconscious is going to start giving you somatic responses to the question that you've asked. So people might suddenly feel a shooting pain in an area of their body, or they might suddenly get a memory flash across their mind that like, that's weird. Why am I thinking of my sister doing X, Y, and Z? It's got nothing to do with this situation. No, it has, because it's just come up. It's your body's, your subconscious is giving you the resources that you need to uncover that next piece. So it's really cool to be able to really recognize the somatic responses as you're doing that. For me, that's really key. And then once you've identified through the muscle testing the route, then what we do is through the intention and breath work and clearing statements, help to command that energetic imprint to shift from your energy field. And then we start to bring in and create what we really want to create. So like weaving a new reality through, calling it what we want, imprinting successful beliefs, thoughts, emotions, all of the aspects that make up our identity so that we can really start to embody that and hold that frequency for longer. Does that make sense? Does that help?
It does make sense. I mean, I think as I mentioned, even with the muscle testing, it's until you experience it and start doing it, you know, it's easy to hear it and process it, but you need to do it to start to see how it feels on yourself so that you can kind of get a sense of what's going on, right? And what, and again, things that you don't really expect are in the way of things, or maybe the things that are triggering, right? So this led you to create the Helix Method. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Yes. So the Helix Method, we use a range of techniques within the Helix Method to help people to expand their consciousness and to be able to develop their psychic gifts and to be able to really, I call it the trifecta of prosperity, so that you can heal and expand wealth, health, and love. Because those are the three kind of big aspects that people, when we're feeling aligned in all those areas of life, life feels really good, and the ripple effect is there within our businesses, the impact that we're here to make in the world and across all aspects of our life. And so over the last few years with the Helix Method, it started with, you know, I was working in this way, and then I had one of my clients reach out. And this is, Karen, talk about synchronicity. So I had just had a call with my coach, and I'd literally written down, you know, it was a Monday night, and I'd had a call, and I'd written down, okay, right, launch my certification program starting in September. And then I woke up in the morning, and there was an email from a client going, do you teach people how to do what you do? Because I'm looking, I would love it.
Of course you did. Of course you did, right?
And I was like, well, there's a kind of sign that this is.
Yeah, you know, I talk about flow, right? There's an example of flow.
That's exactly it. So I was like, whoa, this is amazing, you know. And of course it didn't have a name at that point, you know, because it was just been in the sense of how I'd been working with my clients and you know, within our programs and things. And so that started with you know, we launched it as a certification program, and that was a couple of years ago now. So it's been a privilege to be teaching other people how to go deeper with their clients by being able to certify in the Helix Method. And so there's many aspects to it, because there's so much that you can do. You know, the muscle testing, the energy kinesiology that we do within the Helix Method is just one of the cool techniques that we use alongside the manifesting ritual that I teach within the masterclass that you experienced. But yes, I absolutely love it. I lead with wealth, because I love helping people to heal their their money story and to expand their wealth consciousness.
And wealth does feed some of the other things, right? We can pretend it doesn't, but mm-hmm. you know, even like certainly here in the US, you know, wealth makes a difference in your health. If you know, health insurance is expensive, doctors are not accepting insurance, you know, so having the cash to be able to join the gym, take the yoga classes, buy a Peloton, whatever it is that you need to do to stay healthy, right? So I think and it certainly feeds health. I don't know about love, but it certainly feeds health.
Yeah, absolutely. Because also, if you think about what are one of the biggest stresses for people in life that impact their health, it is money, you know, in the sense of where people are, you know, you can have very successful right. businesses go out of business. Right. And that's going to have a huge impact, actually, not only on one person's health, you know, the CEO's health in terms of the stress, possible sleepless nights, their adrenals going out of whack, all those things, but also family relationships and things, because, you know, when people are feeling stressed, they might not be so peaceful at home right. and all those right. things. So it does have that knock-on effect across everybody. And when we're in the flow state and we're feeling really good about money and expanding money and all those things, then we feel that, you know, our health is impacted as well, and we can feel really generous in our relationships in terms of time and the expansion of love that we have as well.
Right. So the Helix method combines modalities for that, what did you call it? A triangle?
Oh, the trifecta of prosperity.
The trifecta of prosperity. Okay. Yes. Interesting. Yeah. And do you incorporate that into everything you do, or is that a specific program that you teach, or both?
Yeah, so I actually have, so I've got the wealth portal, which is where we focus on the money side of things. Then I have the body, a limited edition, I call it, where we focus on health aspect. Mm-hmm. And then we have the love codes, where we focus on the relationship. And then we've also got the certification program for those that are like, do you know what, I want to go deeper with my clients and to be able to take those programs themselves and lead their clients through it. So we've got a beautiful pathway for people to be able to go on the journey, you know, for that, so they can pick the components that they want to focus on. And what I found time and time again is as people are changing their energy and elevating their consciousness, and it's just so beautiful how more intuitive people are. It really awakens that. Even people who are already really intuitive, mm-hmm. It kind of gets ramped up a gear.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So, you know, just before we came on here, and I think that I want to make sure we touch on this topic, mm-hmm. because I and we're definitely going to have you share links to the work that you're doing, because I know my listeners are going to want to check you out. But we were talking about the fact that, you know, we're recording this. It's the end of March 2024. And there's a shift this year that I've never seen before in at least the decade or plus that I've been doing this work. And more than ever, I've seen the wealth piece get in the way. Mm-hmm. And meaning that more than ever, I've seen people closing up their businesses and either going back to corporate, taking a job, retiring, whatever. But I don't necessarily think it was a planned, organized thing, right? I think that we're seeing more and more people struggling. Do I need to do high ticket? Should I be doing low ticket? Are ads working anymore? Right. So there's a shift happening in the market. And I think, you know, the strategies that I teach are really very relationship focused. And I think that still works. So, you know, so we're doubling down on that. But I wanted to mention that because I, if you're experiencing this, you're not alone, you know, mm-hmm. and we talked earlier before we turned the camera on that, you know, it was almost like the elephant in the room, right? People are still pretending to be successful or pretending to have this, you know, just pretending to continue to move forward with their businesses. But behind the scenes, it's a little bit of a shit show. And I'm not going to lie, we've changed a lot of things up ourselves because of that. The things we used to do, I did a thing this year that I hadn't done in like 8 years. And it was just a silly little marketing thing, right? But 8 years ago when I did it, I remember, I mean, my list was 1/10 the size as it is now, right? And I remember having stacks of paper on my desk and like going through them saying, all right, who am I doing this with and who am I not? We had two responses this year. You know what I mean? And this is with a list 10 times the size with it. So things are shifting. And I think as marketers, because I certainly am a marketer. I know you're a marketer. And many of the people listening to the show are marketers. We need to be paying attention, right? So tell me a little bit about what you're seeing about that and you know, from an energetic and also just from a practical standpoint.
Oh, yes. Huge. I'm definitely seeing that as well. And what I'm recognizing is that people are requiring more nurturing before they're saying yes. So the sales cycle is longer, if that makes sense, before people are stepping in. Because of either they've got burnt along the way with perhaps investing in things that haven't delivered. They've got stuff going on in their own business where the cash flow isn't what it was because of this extension in sales cycle before people are saying yes. The impact of taxes going up, certainly that's been in the UK. I don't know what's happening elsewhere in the world, whether taxes have been affecting for other people in the different countries that they're in. So I think there's a number of different squeeze points that are coming in for business owners. And of course, as creatives, if we're listening to what's going on in the market, then we need to pivot and adapt to be able to go and say, okay, hang on, what was working isn't working anymore. So I now need to be able to use this breadth of skills that I've developed and to be able to apply those principles that you teach, Karen, around relationships and apply building relationships because in a new way, because ultimately business comes down to relationships. We work with people that we know, like, and trust. Right. That has stood the test of time.
Right.
Of course, we, you know, what the gift of working in the online space is that we've kind of collapsed the timeline, so to speak, for being able to get to know, like, and trust people through video and all those things. And I think what we're seeing is a little caution coming in for people as the market has matured and there are more people out there. And also, I think what we're also seeing is a portion of people who may have come into the online space whilst they're in the pandemic, recognizing that perhaps it's not for them and closing down.
That's true. Yeah.
Et cetera. Because if you think of it, it's kind of like where are we, 2024, 3 years, you know, is
right,
it
right.
That sort of cycle, isn't it? Of people going, actually, we've grown the business, sod this isn't for me. So there's kind of those sort of practical aspects of it. And then what I'm recognizing as well from an energetics point of this, all of this is hugely stressful for people who are going through that. Hang on, I'm giving up my business because of whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. If it's cash flow, if it's actually they've realized they've built a business that, you know, didn't give them the freedom that they thought they wanted, or, you know, sometimes we try new aspects in our business and we're like, actually, it's not for me. And that's okay. But yeah, there will be reversed energy around this for people. Right. And that's, for me, is being able to help people go, right, let's clear all the stuff where we're holding some trauma, even if we're telling ourselves, because we can rationalize, can't we? And tell ourselves a really good story about X, Y, and Z. But it's really important to go into the heart and to really recognize, hang on, how is the body experiencing all of this, so that you can make sure that we're not taking any of that trauma into whatever the next project is. And if there is cash slow in your business, to be able to transmute that energy so that you can free the energy up, so you can start to allow things to feel easier and to be able to go, okay, do you know what? All paths of success have peaks and troughs. That if there is a trough, it's a data point in time. Because the thing I see is we shame on ourselves so much when things aren't in flow, rather than saying, do you know what, the business is just feeling a bit sticky right now and I need to refocus. It's not like it means anything about our self-worth, but we're very good at, when we're in a quiet corner on our own, just to start to kind of, the nervous system will start running these stories through our consciousness. And then before we know it, we might have, you know, might be believing the thoughts that we're thinking.
Right. So if I'm listening to this conversation and I'm self-identifying with a lot of the things we've talked about today, what's the first step to identifying this reverse energetic shift?
Yeah. Okay. So I would download my guide. So this can walk through it.
Good idea.
Step by step. It's all there for you. And then I would identify, okay, so what's going on in my current reality? What am I seeing? Because it's an internal reflection of how I'm feeling inside. And then use that as a starting point. So, and it's like, have I got an energy reversal to do with X, Y, Z, whatever the thing is, and to do the sway technique to identify it so that you can feel it in your body. That will be super powerful. And then to follow my guidance in the workbook that I'll give you in the guide, so that you can start to change it. And then by all means, come to our next masterclass, because through it, I'll be there to answer any questions, so I can help you with anything that's kind of feeling sticky, and so we can start to change the energy so that you can start to be like, do you know what, I'm feeling like, oh, feel more relieved, your frequency is getting raised, and only good things are going to come from that.
How often do you do the masterclass?
I do them every 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, good. It was great. It really was. You really way over delivered in that. It was awesome. I highly recommend everybody register for that. And we'll put all the links to all of this in there. Okay. So in addition to all of this amazing complimentary stuff that you have out there, how do you work with people?
So I have my group program. So I've got the Wealth Portal, which is our 4-month wealth energetics program. So people come in to expand their wealth consciousness. And our intention is that they have a breakthrough in the money that was coming in within the next, 60 days or less. So that's our goal. It's super fun. And so people can, inquire about that if they're looking to expand their wealth consciousness. And we've got the body, which we run sort of once a year. And people can come into that where we really focus on what's going on in the body and for any deep trauma work that people are wanting to work through. We've got the Love Codes. We'll be running that in June live, which will be focusing around our relationship with ourselves and a relationship with others. So perfect if people are wanting to heal aspects of relationship, whether it's in work or family members or calling in the one, even it could be for and then of course I work, I have private clients as well. I work one-to-one with clients, and I create bespoke packages for people with my private clients.
Amazing. Well, I love the work that you do, and I'm glad that you're in my life, and I look forward to seeing what else you've got going in this upcoming year. And I'm a fan, and I think you're going to get a lot of new fans this week. So thank you so much for being here. If you're listening today and this has resonated with you, then you know what I want, right? I want you to take a quick screenshot of this and share it on your social media. Tag me, tag Louisa, because we will then share it with our audience. And we've mentioned on the show the importance of that, building relationships that, people understand and getting to really know, like, know, like, and trust you. And a lot of that comes from this, right? Like, if you met Louisa somewhere, I don't know, on the street, she told you some of this stuff, you might be like, okay, but hopefully you know, like, and trust me because you're listening. I'm asking you to know, like, and trust her. So this is how we all lift each other up. And this is how we all start to get through whatever's energetically going on this year or whatever's changing in marketing, right? It's just shifts in marketing. And honestly, that's why I do what I do, because I feel like what we teach here and She's Linked Up and Karen Yankovich Land is good old fashioned marketing. It's worked for 100 years. It's going to work for another 100 years. It's not algorithm dependent or anything like that. Right. So when you share this is how we all support each other and how we all get to move forward. If you want to know more about what it looks like to work with us, there's links on this page as well, or go to karenyankovich.com/call, book a call on our calendar, and we can talk about what it looks like to get some support with some of your LinkedIn and PR strategies so that you know how to start to build these relationships, right? That good old-fashioned marketing stuff that works. And it's not spam your network. I promise you, it's not spam your network. It is get to know people. Right. And in a micro targeted way. So just like I got to know Louisa over this year. So I look forward to seeing what's next in our future, Louisa. I think there's more to come. And thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a real treat. And I'm so excited to connect with everybody as well. So thank you. Looking forward to meeting everyone.
Okay. So we'll see you back here again next week for another episode.